Thank you, Lord. Let that be our prayer, amen. Take my life, Lord. Thank you, Father. We're here, Lord, for you. To hear from you, Lord. Lord, we want to come and also glorify you and to worship you. To let you know how much we love you. Oh, Lord, your word tells us that you want all of us. Our hands and our feet. Our mouths, Lord God. Oh, Father, you want our mind, Lord. We can renew our mind to be that of you, Lord. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love, at the impulse of thy love. And take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Now take my voice and let me sing, always only for my King, always only for my King. Now, Lord, take my love, my God, I pour. At thy feet its treasure stored. Take myself and I will be ever only all for thee. Ever only all for thee. Amen. That's what it's about, folks.
Yeah. Your heart. Prepare these words to your life.
Yes, Lord.
Search yourself. Know that I know already. I ask you to give yourself wholly to me. Every part of you. Use your being. To glorify me. You are there to speak to souls that are lost. You are there to help the needy. You are there to love the ones that feel unloved.
Yes.
Use this time I have given you to serve you.
Yeah. Amen. We want to be in service for him. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. God is good. All the time, my God is good. Will you willingly let him search you? Search my heart. Search my thoughts, Lord. There's many times I have to ask for forgiveness. How about you? But it's that point of saying I'm at least willing to come to him and not shy away from him. To be able to say, Lord, I'm not perfect. Far from it. But I love you. And I want you more in my life than anything that this world could afford to offer, to give me, whatever it might be. But Lord, I thank you that you've not given up on me. How about you? He is still cleaning things out of me. Hey, I got some extra garbage bags. You guys need any? There's times I've thought about bringing a trash can up here, put a little sign on it saying, hey, or maybe we ought to put it back there, up here, whatever. Just you come in on a Sunday, hey, you got some junk you bring it in? Leave it here. Leave it here. And get ready to hear from God. Amen. Come to him with an openness and a desire and a hunger and a thirst. And I believe and I know by his word he will fill you. He will give you drink for you to be refreshed. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, as we get into your word, it is your word. I am just your servant. I stand here with nothing, Lord, of understanding other than your understanding and what you have enlightened me as you enlightened everyone here with your word. Father God, I thank you for the Holy Spirit's filling and leading. Lord, I thank you for the Holy Spirit to reveal the truth to us of your word. I thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit to always be there to guide us into a place with you. Amen, Lord. Amen. People, amen that. Amen. To Holy Spirit, lead us into that place where you're at, God. Oh, we come with our arms wide open. Oh, let it be, Lord. Let it be with you. Pray it now, and Lord, let this word go forth with the power that is of yours to speak into the hearts of these lovely people. I love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So today, I want to talk about how God's word will purify you. He will clean and cleanse you. And it's an ongoing, everyday occurrence. How many here have water filters? And, you know, once you put that water filter in, it's not permanent. You got to replace it after so many uses, so many gallons, whatever the case is. It depends on what the impurities are in our fine drinking water that we have. And we do have wonderful drinking water. But there's things in it and things that want to, you know, be trapped in this filter. And some people always have to have a filter, whatever the case might be. And filters are good when you need them. But there's always a thing after so many gallons, so many months, weeks, you've got to replace that filter because it gets hold of those impurities, and then it doesn't function as much. And then when it doesn't function as much, it allows the impurities to come through the filter, no good, it comes back out to you, and you've not purified that water what you want. God's word is like that. We need the word of God on a daily basis to be our filter so that all of this stuff that we keep getting in from this world and what the enemy may try to put upon you or in your thoughts, if you've got the filter of God in you, you will know that it's not the things of God. Amen? And you will say, that is not of you, God. Get out of here, Satan. That thought, that direction, whatever the case, the course that I thought I was going to take, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit says, no, stop, it's not me. We got to be willing to stop, though. But we've also got to know we have got to continually keep a filter in us of this world. And that probably goes back now. A few weeks back, we talked about desensitizing and all that. But I was just thinking of today, filtering of God's word, because it's purified. Our life, our direction with him is purified by that of God's word. Amen. We're going to come out of James chapter 1, 23 to 25. And as we get into this, I thought this direction was because the last couple of weeks we talked about the destiny that God has and the plan he has and the created plan he has for you and that you've got to work that plan. But we want to make sure that it's not by my works that I gain entrance to heaven. We shared that. It's not by my works. It's by the salvation of Jesus, the blood, I get that salvation of eternity in heaven. But once we get that salvation, that's our launching point to the point now we've got to become what of his word? Doers. Doers of his word, things he's put in you. That's that destiny he's put in you that he's got plans and places for you to go and to speak and to share. He's got someone out there in this world that you are going to talk to, that you may be that only person that shares the love of God with that person. And that's the one word they need to hear. And that may be the only person throughout your entire life that you're going to touch. And if that's the case, well done. Right? It's not a game to where we got to have points. It's not like a football game where we want to have the most points on the board at the end of the game. Like, how many did I win? It's not how many you win. It's, are you winning the ones you're to win? One, a dozen, 12, 100? Are you continually being open to the leading of the Holy Spirit to be open to him to use you? Amen. So, in James 1, 21, it begins with this title of mine above verse 21, doers, not hearers. Okay, so I'm going to start with 21. We're going to try to focus on verses 23 to 25. But 21 says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow. Anybody had an overflow recently? You don't want that to happen in your bathroom or your kitchen sink, let me tell you, or your washing machine. And overflow could be, oh my goodness, what is this? An abundance, okay? Lay aside all filthiness and abundance of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to what? Save your souls. This is what God is about, is to save the souls of the people. Amen? If you're sick and you're saved and your soul is healed and you die and go to heaven, you're a healed person. The healing's done. If you die and you're not saved and your soul is going to hell, you're going to have pain and torment and sickness and illness, all these things. But nothing like that exists in heaven, right? We know that. It's what the word tells us, but which is able to save your soul. Receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. Salvation comes not from the use of worldly methods, but it's from a meek and gentle acceptance of what God's word, as it takes root into your heart, begins to grow. Amen. Salvation. And then verse 22, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and he immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Verse 25, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of this work, this one will be blessed in what he does. A lot of things to kind of unpack in those little verses there. In 22, when it says, be doers of the word and not hearers, only deceiving yourself, salvation leads to service. It is self-deception to believe that God's goal for church attendance is merely to hear the word, but instead of to experience and transform the life that results in ministry. He wants and expects our lives to be what? Transformed. And the results of that transformation is to be used in that of ministry. You know, I read that and I was thinking of this. It's like, so, you know, we stand up here and go, well, God got a hold of me so many years back to be called to be that of a pastor or whatever the case is. But when, essence, if I think, I would just ask it, when did you all become ministers of the word? When God got a hold of you in salvation and you turned your life over to him, he says, all right, here's your gift, eternity. Sins have been washed clean. Oh, by the way, if you go through this life and you end up catching a few sins here and there, be quick to repent, quick to turn from them. Let me get them out of your life so that I can keep you, or that you can keep yourself on the track I have you on. The thing is, when we get into this life and we end up doing a hiccup here and there and a little bump in the road and sin of whatever that is, we have a tendency sometimes to think like, oh, how can I go back to God? Oh, how can I go back to the church? Oh, how can I, how? That is not what God wants you to know. God wants you to know that there's a continuation of salvation, continuation of cleansing of the sins, not of salvation. Salvation is a one and done deal. But it's the continuation of the cleansing when we do silly things. So we've got to remain understanding that even though you screwed up, come back to God. Ask for forgiveness. Repent of your sin. And allow that to be put behind you, washed as white as snow. And then in 23 to 25, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself and goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into that perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, anybody sometimes get to be forgetful? Oops, I'm forgetful. Not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. The doer of the work, this one will be pleased, or this one will be blessed in what he does. New Century in verse 23 to 25 says, those who hear God's teaching and do nothing are like people who look at themselves in a mirror. Oh, they see their faces, and then they go away and quickly forget what they looked like. But the truly happy people are those who carefully study God's perfect law that makes people free. Important area there. People are free. I am free. Amen. And they continue to study it. They do not forget what they've heard, but they obey what God's teaching says. Those who do this will be made happy. Are you disgruntled? Are you not happy? I guess our first question to you is, are you doing God's word? Are you allowing God into your life? Are you allowing him to correct you? Or when he corrects you, do you take it as personal to the point of, well, how dare God tell me that? How dare God be in every form of my business? Get your nose out of my business, God. You're that person, that's why you're miserable. That's why you're having issues. That's why you're having a hard time. That's why, well, I have a good day and I have bad, then I stay in bad and my bad gets worse, and now, oh, where's all my good days? It's where you have put yourself. Those who do this will be made happy. The passion. If you listen to the word and don't live out the message you hear, see, that's where it's at. You hear the word, you got to live it, guys. You just can't listen to it and put it in a little file box in your brain and go, well, that's a good word. What do you go to church for? Oh, I go to church, just get some good word, just make feel good, and then I go home and I'm not following God. I'm not giving him the first of what I've got. I'm not keeping him forefront of everything that I'm thinking to the point of God is my God. And I wake up, I say I love him. I'm going through the day of my daily walk of doing different things. Every once in a while, I might all of a sudden just say out, oh, I love you, God. You're awesome, God. Thank you, God. Do you do that? Do you walk daily by just talking to him? If you do, you're going to have a happy life. But if you only talk to him like twice a week, once a day or once a week, or you only talk to him or you feel closer to him when you come to church, then it's something within you that you need to look at, because God is with you all the time. And you will sense that. But then it gives here, you become like the person who looks in the mirror of the word to discover the reflection of his face in the beginning. And that's studying the face that he was born with. Verse 24, you perceive how God sees you in the mirror of the word. This mirror, this word is a mirror. This Bible is a mirror. How many ladies back in the day, and I guess, you know, you purses and things, who, if you always needed a mirror to look at something, something in your eye or something, and your mom, she always had a little compact mirror in her purse. Flip that thing open to look. The Bible, God's word, we use this as a mirror to see what are we reflecting when we begin to study his word and take his word and allow his word to take root in our heart and begin to transform our mind into the things of him. So here it is. God sees you in the mirror of the word. For this, you perceive how God sees you in the mirror of the word. It's this expanded in the passion. For the believer seeing the man in the mirror is seeing how God sees us from the beginning. Even before the fall of Adam was resulted in sin's devastation to human hearts, the new man in the mirror is the new creation man. But then you go out and you forget. The Aramaic here could be translated, you go out and you drift away from. A lot of people drift away from the church. A lot of people drift away from God. This life has currents and waves that'll toss you. And, you know, you speak in the natural and you hear the verbiage of long beaches and things, like they call it like an undertow. On the top, it looks great, calm. But if you go so far down, 6 feet down, whatever, I don't know how deep, 10 feet, whatever it is in the thing, there's an undertow, and it's actually drawing you out. And if you get into that undertow, or you get into that, not even that, it's just like sometimes it's like even on the top of the water, I guess, as some of this works. I don't know the whole thing, but you hear about when people go to the beaches and they go, well, you know, three people drowned. They got into this undertow and pulled them back out to sea or something like that, and they fight it. So now, if I'm getting this right, so in the natural, we get into that current that we don't see, but all of a sudden we find ourselves in. And we're paddling this way. All of a sudden we're paddling this way, but we're going this way because that tow, that undercurrent's taking you. How is the best way to get out of that? Stay in it and just keep fighting forward? Don't go against it. You don't go with it. You go aside of it. You go this way to where eventually you find yourself out of it. See, I think in our life, we find a lot of things that the devil has in this world. There's an undertow. We on the surface, I'm doing good. Everything's great. I'm having a great time with God. I'm following you, God. Things are going great. It's 100%. I have learned so much, and things are developing. And in this world, all of a sudden, as we're on the sea, and all of a sudden, we're feeling like, wait. What's going on here? Something is pulling me this way. I'm feeling drawn away from God rather than what? To God. And so when that happens, you've got to get out of that stream. You've got to get out of that current, that tow that is drawing you away. And rather than try to stay right in it, going like this and fighting, you need to go this way to get out of it, to get into a calmness, and then you go forward again. I think sometimes when we stay in what we're doing and trying to get out of it, it's just another tow on it. It just keeps us going further and further away from God. We've got to be aware of these things, of what the world does and how things get a hold of us. And we've got to look at the Bible as the mirror to, I want to look at my face. I want to see what I've learned. I want to see what I'm practicing. And I need to see where I'm failing. And I need to ask for forgiveness. And then I need to say, Lord, help me understand this greater so that I'm in your graces and I'm doing what you are wanting me to do. How many here want to do what God wants you to do? I hope we all do. So don't drift away. Drift away from your divine origin. But those who set their gaze deeply into the perfecting law of liberty are fascinated by and respond to the truth they hear and are strengthened by it. You respond to the truth. You hear it. You're strengthened by it. Doesn't God's word strengthen and build you up? And any time that you're weak and you read some of God's word and the things that he has performed in the past in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, does it not stir you up to know that's my God and what he accomplished and what he did at that time? He will do for me. He's there for me. Strengthened by it, and then they experience God's blessings in all that they do. Thank you, Lord. So we get back to this thought of verses 22, or let's say 23 to 25. The person here that just hears the word, they quickly forget it. It's like that seed, the sower, tossing it here, tossing it there, the different levels of soil. Some take root, some get blown away, some take quick root and it's scorched and parched and things. So we look at this. The one who merely hears the word quickly forgets it. Only the one who acts on the word, and here's the thing, continues in it, is blessed. Oh. So many times you talk to loved ones, and they had a strong relationship with God. Things were going good. And then things happen. They get into that life undertow, pulls them out of God. And they're miserable. And you see it happening. And you try to encourage them to say, hey, I tell you what, you probably need to get back into that of God. You need to get back into his word. You need to look at his word to show you, to help you begin to get that strength. But those that continue in it is blessed. You're blessed if you stay in God's word. God's word is the perfect law of liberty. It does not enslave us to the bondage of legalism. Aren't you glad? Now, there are some churches out there, and man, that wants to still use legalism even in God's churches, that we want to put things on people that are hard to attain or hard to maintain. And then what's really bad is those in those leadership areas and things, they don't follow themselves, but we'll put the bondage on you. But anyway, that does not enslave us to the bondage of legalism, but rather frees us to keep its precepts by an inward compulsion. Say inward compulsion. You are driven to do things by an inward compulsion. And I would say that change that word from compulsion to propulsion. The Word of God will propel you, amen, into those things that He has for you. Because what are you going to be? A doer of His Word, not just a hearer. Well, to be a doer, you're going to propel yourself and follow God's Word, and God's Word is in you, and you're going to take that, and that Word of God is going to direct your life and take you to what we've talked about the last 2 weeks back in regards to destiny God created for you. And I believe, as we came out the last 2 weeks, everybody here wants to fulfill their destiny, right? I want to fulfill what God has for me. How about you? To do that, I need the mirror. I need the mirror, God's Word, to see where I can look at that and go read some scriptures and say, need to hone up on this one a little bit. Kind of missed it. I need to get a little bit deeper over here. And God is not up there with that big ruler that you would have in the school to slap your hands when you're learning something. He would probably be up there going, that's a girl, that's a boy. You're seeing my love for you. You're seeing my Word for you. And what's so neat, we could all take a verse and read it and then meditate on it with that of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And maybe we could have like 3 or 4 different thoughts about it in pertains to my life. And we've spoken about this before. See, God's Word doesn't change. What happens is the person reading God's Word changes. And then we see it in a different light. The light's always been there. It's just that you were only looking at it with no light bulb. You were in the dark. Or you only had a 25-watt bulb. And as you get deeper into the Word of God, you want to get up to, like, you know, that bright LED daylight bulb that everything's just like, boom, there. But it takes time in His Word. It takes time looking at it, reading it, meditating upon it. So we find that the Word of God, purity of life, is not a quest for perfection as much as it is a quest for liberation from those things that may inhibit effectiveness and reduce our power-filled living. A lot of people, when they're living outside the realm of God in their life, we might look at them thinking like, wow, they've got a powerful life. But we know deep down in them, you ask them and they go, I'm not fulfilled. I just don't feel like I'm missing something. How many people, and we've shared this, and you hear it, and we look at it as, how could you be missing something when you've got this amount of money, you got these amount of houses, you got all this stuff here and there? But see, we begin to look at it thinking like, yeah, material things. But no, we begin to look at it as they've got the material things, they just don't have the spiritual thing, the spiritualness of God in them. They can, you know, they could get a hold of God, and God can get a hold of them, and guess what? They can still have all those things, but rather than being missing or feeling like I got a void in my life, they will be, amen, fulfilled. They will be satisfied. Why weren't you satisfied when you had all those games and toys and monies and all of these bank accounts? Because they were emptied inside. They were not alive inside. Something was amiss. And then they get that of salvation and the Word of God. And then they begin to find out, I can have all these things and be in joy. A sad state of affairs when you hear or read people's stories or biographies and things and what they had, and they die and they feel like they didn't have anything. Because they did not have what? God. We find in this text that shows the Word of God is a means of reflection, a mirror into which we are to look and see ourselves. Now, don't look in God's Word and see somebody else and tell them that's why they're like that. That's exactly what that person needs. How many people? Sometimes we do that. Whoa, boy, did this. Oh, I need to call so-and-so and say, hey, take a look at this scripture right here, buddy. You really need it. No. That scripture and that mirror is your mirror. Don't want to point at anybody in particular, so I'll point at every gate. That is your mirror to look at for your cleansing, for your changing, for your adjusting, not for whoever, not even in your family member. Oh, people get married and they go, oh, he or she, I know that was a downfall. I didn't like it when we were dating, but when we get married, I'm going to change that. Hello. Then you go to Judge Wappner in divorce court or something like that, you know. Well, he was like that or she was like that when I was dating, but I figured once we got married and I would say, could you please stop that? They would stop it because they love me. No. The Word of God is a mirror that we look at. And you can read it all you want, but if you don't take the personal responsibility to do what? Change. It's not going to avail anything to you. You'll just read it like words on a paper. But if you allow the words on the paper to get into your spirit and allow God to start stirring it, churning it, and turning it in you by His love and by His compassion, you will be able to read things and you will go, oh boy, I think I was like that, or I am like that. I need to change. But now, as we get into God's Word and He's got things for us to do, remember, purified by God's Word is our lives. But God's Word says, be doers of the Word, not just hearers. How many know if we don't do something, we will no longer remember how to do it? We can learn a particular skill, but if you don't practice it day in and day out or every few days or whatever, you've got to what? Relearn it. You'll forget this or that. That's why, you know, there's guys hitting billow. They're musicians and all. You know, when they get to do an event somewhere, do they just walk in, set down their stuff, and go, okay, this is our practice, let's start? They've probably practiced hours before that to get everything just right. Practice, didn't you hear that? Practice makes perfect. We think we're going to come to God and instantly be perfect. And then when we're not instantly perfect, we get mad and we think God failed, or we think God is mad at us, or oh, God doesn't want me, and we don't go further with Him. But God loves us, and He will perfect us, perfecting us. He will mature us. He's looking for maturity in us. We get into a lot of things about that, and maturing and perfecting of that of God in our lives. The call is not only to heed what we see and accept the Bible's corrective instruction. Anybody got corrected by the Bible recently? Isn't it fun? Well, just keep it to yourself, okay? But there is an unwritten lesson here. We should avoid the temptation to see and judge others in the Word, analyzing what they ought to do instead of what we need to do. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with unveiled face, and beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, let me throw some amplified words or some other things in there from either Amplified or Passion. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed, but progressively being transformed. Progressive means, does it a one and done deal? Progressively means it's an ongoing thing. You know, back in the old church times, you used to go to a potluck type thing, and they used to call it like a progressive meal. You know, it's been a long time. You ever gone to a church where you go to so-and-so's house, they have the appetizer. Have fun. Okay, now everybody get in the car. Okay, we're going to go have the main course. Go to this house. Have the main course. Have some fun, fellowship. Okay, that's good. Time for dessert. Get in your car. Go over to this house. That was a progressive fellowship meal. Anybody been a part of that? You guys are old. Oh, sorry. Maybe they do that still. That was like a progressive. Didn't it get better as it went? Appetizers are great, but I'm going to tell you what. That dessert at the end, I want to go to that house first. And there are some people that go, oh, I'll eat the dessert first, and then I got room for that. Well, I can go and eat this and this. No, there's a reason. You want to do it in an order. But anyway, That's what the Word of God is. It's a progressively, okay? So progressively, he's transforming us into that same image from glory to glory. He wants us to look glory, amen? Because we're reflecting and revealing him, amen? Just as by the Spirit of the Lord or from the Lord the Spirit. That's what we find in 2 Corinthians. So as we look at this, we should avoid temptation to judge and judge others, analyzing what they ought to do instead of what we need to do. 2 Corinthians 3:18 also likens God's word to a mirror. We read it there, 3:18. It's talking about that mirror again. But it describes the image seen as no less than the Lord Jesus himself. The sum of the two texts, the Bible shows us Christ's likeness in order that, number two, we may measure our conduct and character against his and allow God to, what? Shape us into Christ's likeness. He wants to shape us. Some of you are still out of shape. More ways than one. Everybody pat your belly. Tell you what, after all these desserts that came in for today, you would have thought we were having a feast back there. But it was all desserts. Donut after donut and Kringle and ooh. But that's the thing about it. We measure our conduct and our character against his and allow God to shape us. Let God shape you. Give yourself to him. And to do what he wants, and we have that Christ likeness. When people look at you, do they see a resemblance of, wow, that's of God or of Christ in you? In Romans 8:29, let's see, it talks about shapes us. Romans 8:29, for whom he foreknew, he also, what? Predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So we find that in God to shape us into Christ's likeness, Romans 8:29. Other promises for cleansing through God's word, we can find in Jeremiah 29, it speaks of the fire in the word. Hey? The fire. Fire, fire, fire! Fire, fall on me! Who is that, Linda? Remember him? From Africa. Okay, good, good. Bishop Washington Negedi. Bishop Washington Negedi. Fire, 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 fire. And each time he sang it, he got a higher octave, didn't he? He went, pretty soon he's like, fire, 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 fall on me. That's what we want, the fire to fall on us. It's to burn up the impurities in us. It's to cleanse us, really, perfected by that of fire. How do you get rid of germs? You heat food up to kill them, right? You got to heat it too. Anything you do cook, make sure it gets to 160 internal temperature, 200 degrees, whatever the case is. And we put it in the oven and we put it in the microwave. We can do all the things it says on the package and all. And what do they say at the very bottom to make sure they clarify themselves? Make sure the internal temperature reaches 180 degrees. Well, how are you going to do that? You're going to stick your finger in there? No! It could be hot. You take a thermometer, you jab it in there. Now, not just in the smaller part of the meat, it's got to be in the biggest part of it so that it's what? Hot, and the temperature at the core of it. God's word could be like a mirror, but God's word could be a thermometer. Let his word get into you and let him take the temperature of you, amen? Let it get into the core, your heart, your mind, and let's see what it is. Lord, am I changing? Am I getting better? Lord God, have things that... Are you getting pleased with where I'm at, God? And if you're not pleased, I give you the okay to cleanse me, to show me. He might say, okay, I will do that. Here it comes. But then are you willing to change when the things are pointed out by his word? The mirror. Oh, boy. Okay, I got to do better there. And you begin to work on it. So then we talked about Jeremiah, fire. Jeremiah 20, verse 9. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name, but his word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not. The fire of God gets into you. It's hard to hold you back. Anybody been on fire for God? Now, we use it for a cleansing, but also to be on fire for God, you're hot, man. You're going. It's like, woo, that person's excited. He or she is really, you know, fired up, charged up, energized by that of the Holy Spirit of God in them. Why? Sharing what God has, sharing God's word out into the people, and the people are beginning to hear it, and we pray that it does what it's to do, change you. Change you. Here am I, Lord. Change me. Here I am, Lord. Show me what I'm not pleasing you in. Here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. In your presence, lifting holy hands to you. That's what it's about. To be in his presence, not just at church on Sunday morning, but to be in his presence day in and day out. To be in a worship, an attitude of worship and praise day in and day out, and lifting hands. Jeremiah in the New Century Version of 20, verse 9 says, "Sometimes I say to myself, I will forget about the Lord. I will not speak any more in his name. But then this message comes, like a burning fire inside me, deep within my bones. I get tired of trying to hold it inside of me, and I finally cannot hold it in, and I just got to shout for him. Hallelujah. Woo! How do you stay reserved in serving God? How do you stay, oh, it's a good old day, you know, he's died for me, or we're going to read this simple little verse, you know, blah, blah, this, that's cute. But no. Get the word in you. Let it fire. Let it stoke your furnace. Amen. Back here's another oldie, an oldie but a goodie. How many here remember had to stoke your furnaces? Stoking the furnace. We let God's word stoke you. Let it bubble up inside you. You know, a fire within my bones, shut up in my bones. The fire's there. After a while, it's got to go. It's got to come out somewhere, right? Oh, people need to see that. They need to see the fire of God. We need the churches to see the fire of God in them. Revival fire. You know, fire of God. I come to him sometimes and I say, Lord, you have done so much already. I feel bad to ask for anything, but I would love, Lord God, just a revival of you, just for your presence to be coming, Lord, and just to get the things, you know, ignited. And it's like not ignited to get things from God, it's ignited to give glory to God. Oh, come to the revival and you'll be touched and healed and all that. Yes, you probably could be just by a collateral healing. But come to the glory of God, to just nothing else. Bathe and bask in his glory, the fire of God, the wind of God, to just stand there and to say, oh, you are my God. Hallelujah. Fire, fire, fire. Wind, wind, wind. Wind, wind, wind. That's for some of you Packer guys today. Wind, wind, wind. But when we call for revival, it's to get us closer to him and to burn off the draught and all the stuff from us. Now he'll come in his glory and he will touch and change lives, and that's what it's all about. But I want the very essence to know that my God, I say to him, Lord God, if you don't do anything else for me on this side of heaven, you are my God and I am a blessed man. Lord, how can I ask for more than what you've already given me? One, salvation. This is a temporal life we're in, passing through it. But, you know, even while I'm here and serving him and being used by him, we all are being used and servicing him, that what? He is blessing us. I have had an abundant life. How about you? If you've not had an abundant life, look in the mirror. Amen? It ain't God's fault. He says, blessings I have for you, I will pour out to you. But you got to be under his flow. Amen? God is so good. Abundance. But when we get up in that everyday life, everyday walk, and you walk and you wake and you go, thank you, Lord, for this beautiful, glorious day. I don't know what it holds for me, but I know, Lord, with you, anything that comes my way, I will be able to handle it because you're there with me to handle it. And I'm going to praise you in the morning, praise you in the afternoon, praise you in the evening. Oh, Lord, everybody, praise the Lord. Oh, people, you got to praise the Lord. I want to praise him even when I'm down. Praise him when I'm up. Because if I praise him while I'm down, I will be getting up soon. Because I know my God, here's my praise. Here's my cries of worship to him. And he knows I have a need already before I ask. But I may ask, but before I ask, I want to say, oh, hallelujah, Lord, I love you. I worship you for who you are, my God, my creator, the one that has destiny for me, the one that has created me. Oh, Father, your word helps me understand this life. Your word is a mirror that I can look into your very pages and see my life and see what I need to change. I must change to have that abundance with you. But get it fired up. Get excited for God. Amen. Get excited in your car. Get excited. Give a shout of God. If you're bashful, to shout in church. When you're out in the parking lot and you're all by yourself in the car, just let it out. Ah, Lord, hallelujah. Glory to God. Deer, get out of my way. Glory to God. Deer, get... Deer season, be careful. I had three come almost across me out here on County D this morning. But anyway. Oh, Father, but praise him. Shout to him. Shout to him. Right now, shout to him. Hallelujah, Lord God. Worship you, Father God. You are almighty. You are glorious. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, oh, we praise you, Father. Oh, what's that one song we talked about? Oh, we had in the beginning. Oh, I am a friend of God. Yes, I am a friend of God. Who? Who? He calls me friend. That's why I love him. He's my friend. I'm with him and he's with me. Oh, that's what I had this going the last couple of days, putting these songs together. It's like, oh, there's a couple of new ones here. I don't know, but they're good. New for us. They've been around. But you call me friend. Then we can stand and lift up our hands. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. Oh, you are worthy. You are holy. I will magnify you, Lord. Oh, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Pay attention to these words and these songs, even if you can't sing them. But that's fired up for God. You can have a revival in yourself. Amen? In Psalms 119, we've got to wrap this up here a little bit. We speak in Jeremiah, which can purge as well as ignite. In Psalms 119:9, holds a special promise to the ones who want a pure life of holy power. God's power is a powerful cleansing and delivering agent. Hallelujah. 119:9 says, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. People talk to you, I just don't know where I should go. I just don't have it. I feel like I'm lost. Turn to God's word. Get the direction from him. Work with them. You know, disciple them. Lead them to the Lord of salvation. And then just begin to walk with them through scriptures. The Passion says in 119:9, how can a young man stay pure? Only by living in the word of God and walking in its truth. We got to live in the Word of God. We got to walk with the Word of God. So when we look at James 1, 22 to 25, it is important to listen to what God's Word says, but it is much more important to obey it and to do what it says. The more that we study His Word, we should see the effects of it living out in our lives, in the way of our what? Our attitudes and our behaviors. You know, we've talked with people even with the last few months and all, and how life is with them now and in their earlier years, something would aggravate them, how they would just go off like a bottle rocket. Now, with God's word, it's more of a calming. It's more of a, okay, Lord, count to 10, you know, whatever the case is. But it's walking and living in God's word. We have to live it out in our lives by that of our attitudes and our behaviors. As Christians, we are saved by God's grace, and salvation frees us from sin's control. As believers, we are free to live as God has created us to live, not to live or to do as we please. You're free to obey God, amen? Just obey him. Let God's word purify you into a living that is a holiness of, not holiness of oneness, but holy living that's pleasing to him. And in wrapping here, 1 Peter 2:16, live as free people, New Century Version. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as an excuse to do evil. Live as servants of God. His word is a mirror. The Bible is a compact. There might be some powder in there to powder our noses. I don't know, you know. But the Bible is a compact. It's a mirror. And it's got things in it that will direct us, lead us, help us, encourage us, change us. And when you change by following this, your change is going to be for the better. But it's a personal thing. It's not your spouses, it's not your friends, it's not your family. This word was written for you. Live your life, be an example, and let those around you see that example. And they just may ask you sometime, how can you, why are you like, how does that happen? Well, let me share a little bit about my God. Amen? Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you for your powerful word. Lord, as your word is that of a mirror, Lord, as we read it, let us see really what we appear to be, Lord. Show us those areas that we need to get rid of. Help us, Father God, with your power, Lord, with your strength. Because many things that we've tried to take care of ourselves, I don't have the strength, but it says, where I'm weak, you're strong. And I believe, Father God, that we as a church here want to be closer to you. Oh, every time we get with you, Lord, let us get a little closer. We thank you, Father, for that. Lord, I pray that you would show us our errant ways, not in a mean or a scoldful way, but in a loving way, Lord, that you just say, hey, Tim, this is what you need to work on. And if you can do this, this is these things that will happen. These are the things that are accomplished by it. And, you know, Lord, whatever it is that accomplishes it here, I just want to do, if nothing else, to bring honor and glory to you. Where when they see this church, when they see this church body, that what it does, it amplifies you in love, in compassion, in mercy, in grace. Oh, Father, thank you for continuing changing our lives. Thank you, Lord, for not giving up on us. Thank you, Lord, for when we do maybe fall off the path that you have us on, that you're quick to be there for us if we recognize it and we come back and we repent. We continue on where you want us to go. Oh, Father, we love you and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.